You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Friday. We are back and doing it. Hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Holt, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. Thanksgiving ended up being kind of an untenable day to do a podcast, which I did not think it was going to be, but it was. So this is it. This is the mailbag, and it's the preview. And we have to keep it to under 30 minutes because I'm A, using the camera that only allows to go 30 minutes. And I have to get down to Columbus a little earlier than I thought. So this is it. This is that. So we're going to try to have a post game. We're going to try after I get back home. But I can't 100% promise it. So we will try to do what we can. But before we start talking about post games, let's get to the mailbag. Let's start with our leaders and best, starting with James Crudup at James Crudup 6. How strong do you believe the SEC bias is within the playoff committee? If Michigan loses without Blake, do you think they'll take that into account when seeding, especially if they lose close? No, I don't. I don't at all. I think it could come out that Blake was playing with a completely fractured leg in pieces, and he plays, gets 1 yard, and they would just be like, see, this is what we expected. They just not that good. See, here's the thing. I think if Ohio State loses, they're in anyway. I think if Michigan loses, they're out. And they're going to point to one game, Notre Dame. A game in which, yes, Ohio State won, but so did Marshall, so did Stanford. But they didn't do it convincingly. I don't know what's better, in a way. Beating an okay Notre Dame team, I understand they're surging in the rankings, and they certainly, I think I would probably pick them to beat USC this week. I mean, it's a good win. I'm not saying it's not a good win, but Michigan beating up on bad teams the way they did, I think that, I don't know. They probably needed to win those three non-conference games 100-0. I think that's a kind of a hindsight thing, right? I think they probably needed to win those games significantly more convincingly than they did. You live and you learn, I guess, you know? But I do think there is an SEC bias to some degree. However, only one SEC team is probably getting in unless LSU beats Georgia, which I don't anticipate. But I guess no one thought Alabama was going to beat Georgia either. So it would be vast, big conspiracy if LSU beats Georgia. Regardless, win and you're in against Ohio State. Josh Barr at Jadicky. Obviously, both teams' health is a big topic going into this game. What are the chances for some fresh faces to put their stamp on the rivalry? Who do you think is an unlikely hero for Michigan in a win? I think that some may be fresh, some may not. I mean, it's there for CJ Stokes, and we'll get to the Blake Corum of it all momentarily. But it provides an opportunity for Donovan Edwards, CJ Stokes. And then on the other side, this could be the Abi Okie coming out party. I feel like that this is the opportunity, man. You are a 5-star. You played at Alabama. You know, you were an all-SEC freshman of the year. It's time now, man. It's time to step things up. Will Johnson being the other. But aside from unknown and unheralded faces, I mean, CJ Stokes is probably the closest to it. If they really need to spell and do some different things, but I don't think that it's necessarily going to be I don't think it's going to be like Isaiah Gash, Matthew Hibner. We'll add Colston Loveland to the list of the ones, because I think he could be even more lethal than Luke Schoonmaker, even especially if both of them are out there at the same time, right? You would expect Schoonie to get the ball, maybe not Loveland. My brother in metal, Michael Wolf at MWolf 21. If Michigan can run the ball at will again, does OSU go into a here-we-go-again mode? Is there something on offense you look for Michigan to do that they haven't done yet this year? I absolutely think that if Michigan does run the ball and or just plays tough up front, I think that a large part of it can be that. That's the beauty of winning one against a bunch of guys who have never won against Michigan, right? Like, these guys don't know. Whereas, like, even in 2016, that entire Michigan team had lost to Ohio State before. They all knew what it felt like. The only one that was, like, a major piece of that team that did not know what it felt like was Chris Evans. So, it's, you know, that they all knew what that felt like. They all had that experience before. Whereas, you've only got a couple guys on either side who know what it's like on the other end. And, like, I think it's big for Michigan to have mostly guys who don't know what it's like to lose to Ohio State, and for Ohio State to have mostly guys who have never beaten Michigan. The here we go again mode, especially in a big rivalry game like this, can pay huge dividends. As far as offensively, I think that a little bit of everything. I think expect the unexpected to some degree. They broke out the screen game, the running back screen game last week. I expect to see more crossing routes as far as in the pass game, more slants and things like that. We saw a lot more slants early in the year than we with wide receivers rather than tight ends than we have late. I think there's a plan. I do. Jimmy Whitner at Jimmy Whitner 1. After the first quarter, what is the key stat we should look for? I would say running numbers on both sides. But even then, I mean, Ohio State was running the ball kind of okay. Not great, but kind of okay in the first half, and then it didn't work at all in the second half. So, but I would look to see who's winning the rushing battle. If more so the yards per carry. Number two, over-under for JJ's TDs, 2.5. I'll go under, but I'll give them two. I'll give them two, and I don't, and then it, if they get another couple, that's very dependent on how healthy the run game is. Three, what is the narrative if we win? That Jim Harbaugh has Ryan Day's number. It's that simple. It'll be that this Michigan team was built to beat this Ohio State team. That Ryan Day, despite all of the talent, despite all of it, it'll be very similar to the early Mark D'Antonio teams against. It's not quite the same because those were bad Michigan teams that Michigan State was beating up on, but Michigan State was still also really good, right? Like Michigan State wasn't like Michigan State wasn't good. It was that Michigan State was really good and Michigan wasn't. But it will be kind of this the thing of like that, you know what? Michigan just seems to want it more. Finishing us out in segment one, Jonathan Joseph at 20, J. Joseph 2156. Are you ready for the verbal assaults from the crowd this weekend? No, not ready from anything. I do remember in 2016, verbal assaults weren't directed as much towards Michigan people as much as it was towards JT Barrett. So it'll be interesting, but I'm not looking forward to anything when it comes to all of the Columbus, what have you. All right. Let's continue on here momentarily, but this episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. This episode is brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Yeah, that's what I said. Okay. The easiest place to spice up college football season. All right. This has been a debacle to start us off here. Go to the Underdog website. If you don't know what Underdog Fantasy is, it is a situation where you can go. It's a fantasy football with a kind of like that betting component. You go, you check out over unders, you do all that kind of stuff. You're like, hey, Blake Corum, I'm going to take him over 80.5. You go in and do things like that. Those are the types of bets that you make. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Just go to the Underdog website, create an account, look at the different pick'em choices for your team each week. I would look to go very high on Donovan Edwards. I would look to go very high on J.J. McCarthy because those are the guys that they're going to need in this particular game. So go to Underdog, make those types of picks. It's easy to play. It's available in over 30 states. Just pick between 2 and 5 players across any team, not just your team, but obviously, and decide if they'll finish higher or lower. One of the easiest fantasy to play games out there, and you can win cold hard cash in a single game. Sign up with the promo code LOCKEDON, one word, and Underdog will double your first deposit up to $100. Deposit $100, get $100 free. Go to UnderdogFantasy.com or find the Underdog Fantasy app in the App Store or Google Play Store. That's Underdog Fantasy, promo code LOCKEDON, one word. Get in on the college football pick'em action today. Well, that was a debacle. All right. Let's continue on. We have got so many more questions, so little time. I've got to finish packing, get to Columbus. Keep an eye out on Wolverine's Wear. Keep an eye out on my YouTube channel. I'm getting down there early to speak to some Fox people. They messaged me yesterday and said, hey, can you be here around this time? And I wasn't planning on it, but yes, I can be. So should hopefully get some really good pregame insight. All right, let's go to our Victor's Valiant Gym at Gym in the North. Does this team have any nervousness about OSU, or did last year get rid of it? I don't think this team has any bit of nervousness. I think any of the nervousness is felt in the fan base. I don't know about Ohio State, but I would imagine they would feel at least maybe not nervousness as much as pressure. I'm sure they have belief in themselves as anyone, any good team will. But no, I don't think that Michigan's going down with this. Like, oh no, I think that they think that they can go down and beat them with or without Blake. What's your prediction of Michigan's O-line versus OSU's D-line? I do think OSU, like, okay, so like watching Ohio State and then reading about Ohio State, and I got a lot of flack from 11 Warriors commenters. What little I looked before I decided looking at the comments was no longer within the interest of my sanity. They were, you know, because of course they're like, you clearly don't know anything. Because I said, I think that Michigan's offensive line will still beat out the offense, the defensive line of Ohio State. They are solid, but kind of unspectacular in the middle. Zach Harrison is okay. And JT Tumalau is great. I think that then you look at Michigan, who's got the redux of the Joe Moore award winning line. The only team that really pushed them around, I mean, they didn't have the greatest week against Illinois, but in overall in the last 2 years, the only team that's really pushed them around was Georgia. I think Michigan's offensive line will be fine. That doesn't mean I think Michigan's running game will be fine, because that's very dependent on the back, and I think that it's also dependent on what Ohio State does with those linebackers who have played very well this year, but I mean, Tommy Eichenberg and Steel Chambers, they were, I feel like, and I could be wrong, I feel like they were also really good after the Oregon game up until the Michigan game. So in part, it also depends on what Michigan puts out there. So I think that Michigan will win that battle. I don't necessarily think that it is going to mean anything unless Blake Corum is healthy enough to do what he can do. Donovan Edwards is healthy enough to do what he can do. And CJ Stokes is mature enough to be able to take advantage. Can Michigan win if Corum can't play? They can, but it would take, I think, Stokes would have to look like he's looked on his best day, and then some. And then Donovan Edwards would have to be like Penn State version Donovan Edwards, and then the Michigan defense would have to just be nuts. That's probably it. I'm not saying that they can't win. I think it would be it's going to be an uphill battle. I think regardless, it would be that much more of an uphill battle if Corum can't play. But I have reversed course. I do believe Corum will play. How effective he'll be, I'm not sure, but I do believe Corum will play. Zan at Zanland. Is it more likely that two Big Ten teams make the college football playoff or two SEC teams? If LSU loses to Georgia in the SEC championship game, every SEC team not named Georgia will have two plus conference losses. The answer seems obvious, but we know the committee can't seem to quit the SEC. It all depends on what happens around them, right? Like if TCU loses along the way, if USC loses along the way, I think it all depends. I think that there are enough quality candidates that you can put in instead of LSU, kind of regardless of what LSU does. But I think Georgia should be in if it loses to LSU in the SEC championship. I don't think LSU should be in. It's the Penn State precedent. So, you know, the precedent was set in 2016. But what will the committee do? I'm sure they'll put LSU in. So, Mark Z at Mark Zimke, how much do you think the myriad of different line changes could impact voting for the Joe Moore Award? I think if they played a fully healthy starting five only a couple times this season. I mean, they've been incredible even regardless of doing that. So, I think that they should absolutely win it, especially because they have done what they have done without having a fully functional starting five. there's pretty much no one out there that thinks that this line is even keel with last year's or worse. So I think that should win it regardless. Perry Mitchell at Perry Mitchell 08. Should we stop expecting Andrell to break out? It seems like throwing his way is just a wasted down anymore with such abysmal efficiency, and that's something we can't have this weekend. I don't think it should be expecting Andrell. I think everyone's got to think of Andrell in a different light. How did he get those two? What were the two big plays he had against Michigan State? One was like a underneath pass that he took for a long time. So getting him in space would be one thing with a high percentage pass. And the other one, yeah, he did go up and get it in the end zone in kind of a, you know, back of the end zone fade-ish type throw. I think you could just have to utilize him different. Don't think of him as the big possession receiver that's just going to go and get 50-50 balls, clearly. I think that's what we all thought he was going to be. He has not been that until he proves he's that. But I don't think everyone should give up either. I've seen plenty of times throughout guys' careers where you're like, oh man, that guy's bad. And then the next year they come on strong. Happens all the time. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it. Jacob Shaveri at Jacob1721-3950. What's your game day routine for this Saturday? Are OSU fans the worst? How will Michigan defend the 100 slant passes OSU will attempt? Well, who knows if they're going to attempt those or not. Michigan hasn't really put anything on defense this year. I feel like they did last year to be like, hey, you don't want to try slants against us. It's a bad idea. But I'm sure Michigan will be ready for it. You know, I can't imagine they won't be ready for it. You know, that's how they lost in 2018. As far as my game day routine, it's the same as any. I'll get to the stadium 3 hours before kickoff. I'll go up to at Ohio State. I'll go up to the press box. I'll set my stuff up in the press box, get my cameras on, have some breakfast. I'll go down on the field. I'll wait for the team to arrive. I'll go and try to see if when the team arrives. At that point, I'll probably go up and write a, you know, this person made it or didn't make it, or maybe I'll hold off, and then I'll go down to the field. I'll take some pictures of warm-ups and just kind of I'll talk to a few people, try to get kind of an idea of what we're going to expect, and then I'll we'll go from there. That's kind of how it will work. Ohio State fans being the worst, I mean, yeah, I always like to think that Michigan State fans are the worst. No, the Michigan State fans are worse, I think, in a lot of ways. But, it is bad. Because if you aren't, like, not 110% in on Ohio State, like, my 11 Warriors column, it picks Ohio State to win. And I said, like, if Michigan had its most important player 100% healthy, I'd probably pick Michigan because that's a guy that changes the game, and I don't think that anything is going to be completely different from last year. But I said, you know, Ohio State's just too talented to overcome. And I mean, I picked them and they're mad. And they're, you know, that's just how they are. But they're not quite as bad as Michigan State fans. All right, Adam Casel at Adam_Casel. I remember you being surprised by Harbaugh's openness in the press conference for the previous game, not OSU. Do you remember which one that was that might be comparable to his demeanor this year? I don't remember. I don't remember what happened yesterday. So, this team seems unflappable. Do you agree? Why or why not? I mean, I do think it is. I mean, I think that that's, I'm not, I, okay. So here's the thing, go and read the MGO blog under further review for the Michigan defense. Cause as Seth not so subtly alluded, it kind of seemed like Michigan was playing defense against Illinois, but not really playing. They're playing a defense against Ohio State, but against Illinois. And so the fact that they were able to win it, it kind of also explains why they were so happy. It just kind of felt like what Ohio State did against Maryland in 2018. But it just seemed like, yeah, you know what? We can go out there and we can win even with people that you don't think we can win with. So yeah, it does seem like it's an unflappable team in a lot of ways. Will Mendoza at Willie Will 9. Can you elaborate on the sign stealing situation from the game a few years ago? Do all teams have dedicated people who try to do this? Any other interesting stories from years past? I don't know that I can remember offhand any interesting stories from years past. The sign stealing thing, yeah, that was a real thing that happened in 2018, 2019, and pretty much any team, every team's usually trying to do that anyway. As far as dedicated people, I don't know if, you know, because I only know a little, I don't know if teams have a dedicated person or not, but certainly they're going to try to steal signs. But yeah, Ohio State knew everything that Michigan was running in advance, and they figured out how to, if they couldn't figure out what Michigan was running by the signs, they knew how to expose what they were doing in the pre-snap by just motioning a tight end. Okay, there you are, laid bare. By 2020, every team in the Big Ten knew. That's why Wisconsin ran them off the field. That's why Rutgers had them in a chokehold for most of that game. So Ohio State was, Michigan was good enough where they could overcome a lot of those deficits, even in 2019 when other teams knew, but not good enough against teams with talent, essentially. Spencer Whitmore, at Spencer Whitmore, what's your favorite Ohio State Michigan game memory? I'll go with my earliest, and that's Desmond striking the post. I remember seeing that live as a kid. I don't remember much more than that. The other one would be Bianca Batuka. I did not see it. I just remember I was with my grandparents. I don't know why we weren't watching the game. That seems really bizarre. I just remember we were listening to it in the car, and we were in Grand Blanc for some reason. I just remember hearing Bianca Batuka's name 1,800 times and being very excited. But, I mean, Desmond striking the pose is the one that caused me to strike a pose for a while as a kid. Anton Sesmita Mangala, at Sesmita Mangala. Has the dual play caller role for Michigan played a part in the lack of offensive creativity? I'm really hoping we see a ton of new plays this week. I don't think that's it. I think that Michigan hasn't felt like it's needed it, so they haven't used it. I think that's kind of what it is. I also think the Illinois game will be a confidence booster for the team. They overcame a lot of adversity to win the game. I think it's way more impressive than a high-scoring Pac-12 game with no defense to be found. I agree, and I mean, Illinois will finish as an 8-4 team. That's a decent team, right? It's not like a bad team. They should have been more 10-2, but 8-4, that's still a really good team, right? That's what, you know, Michigan, on its bad years, people are like, they're 8-4, and people are giving like, oh, Penn State beat Michigan. Wisconsin beat Michigan. Michigan should get that same credence for Illinois this year, honestly. El Cinco Dentista. At Cincoto, I don't know how that goes. At a smile fixer. Injury updates are all that matter at this point, which, of course, are unavailable. Listen, I think you're going to have a full complement of the offensive line. I think Donovan Edwards will be back. He'll have some limitations, but he'll be good to go. I think Blake Corum will be back with limitations. Mike Morris should be back. Luke Schoonmaker should be back. Michigan is injured, but I think it's not as dire as it felt last week. I think we're living off of some recency bias to some degree. And Blake Corum's injury makes it feel all that worse. Finishing us out in segment two, U of M Clips and Bolts at U of M Clips and Bolts. What do you think is more likely, JJ catching fire against Ohio or Ohio catching fire against Michigan's run defense? JJ catching fire against Ohio. I can't foresee, especially with the injuries they have up front, inconsistencies they've had up front. I just cannot see Ohio State suddenly being incredible. Now, will they break a long one? Does that mean they can't break a long one? I think they can break a long one. Maybe even two. Chase Brown did that, but Chase Brown's the best running back that they've seen and will see all year. So, P.S., if you pay attention to the NFL at all, where would you rank Kirk Cousins in QBs? I don't pay attention to the NFL, so there you go. All right, we've got about 6 minutes left after I tell you a little something about upside. Inflation has us thinking about different ways to cut back, whether it's driving less, dining out less, buying less from the grocery store. We can all agree there's nothing fun about less. That's why I started using Upside. Upside is an incredible app for anyone who buys gas, groceries, or dines out. With Upside, I don't have to cut back because I would get cash back on every purchase. To get started, download the free Upside app, use my promo code LOCKED, and get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. Next, claim an offer for whatever you're buying on Upside. Check in at the business, pay as usual to credit or debit card, and get paid. In comparison to credit cards, rewards, or loyalty programs, you can earn 3 times more of cash back with Upside. Upside users are earning more than $1 million every week. That's probably why they have a 4.8 star rating on the App Store. Download the free Upside app. Use the promo code LOCK to get $5 or more cash back on your first purchase of $10 or more. That's $5 or more cash back with your first purchase of $10 or more using promo code LOCKED. All right, not a lot of time left. 5 minutes. Let's do it. Two of the same, David Noe at David R. Noe. Favorite Thanksgiving side, Jacob Palmer at Jacob underscore Palmer 13. Favorite Thanksgiving dish slash dessert. I don't really know 100% what's my favorite. It kind of varies on year to year. This year it was the stuffing. I like stuffing and I like gravy and I like the butter my aunt makes. So that's what I kind of loaded up on. And then dessert, it all varies. We have different desserts. This year it was the apple pie. The apple pie was incredible. But otherwise, I mean, I don't tend to hone in that hard. DBK09 at DBK09, or DB5K09, rather. OSU fans put 100% of the blame on Combs for last year's results in the game. Who will they blame this year? I mean, I think they would blame Ryan Day. I think they would 100% blame Ryan Day. I don't think that there would be any bones about it. James Kowalewski at Coach underscore Kovo. So Kowalewski, I guess. Kovalewski, I'm assuming. How is Michigan's health along the offensive line coming into the game? I preemptively answered that after having read it. I think it'll be fine. I think you're going to have your starting five. I think they'll be okay. Obviously, you're a play away from re-injuring anybody who's been injured, but I think you'll have your starting five back. I don't know if it will be Barnhart or Trent A getting the start, but you'll have your starting five. T at Nat Packers, Cena. Is more likely that Edwards or Corum or both play. Both will play, from what I know. Brett Beyer at Brett Beyer 6. To me, the difference between these two teams is OSU's ability to convert third and fives and fourth and fives or less in their sleep. Michigan is trepidatious, I don't know, in these scenarios, is getting OSU behind the chains. Michigan's best or only interest at getting the defense off the field, and can they? It's not Michigan's only chance. Ohio State also, this, you have to keep in mind, this is the best defense Ohio State's seen all year. And Ohio State didn't see Illinois. I'd have to look, and I don't think we have time for that, but we're going to try it anyway. Screw it. The best defense that Ohio State University has faced in terms of total defense this year has been Iowa. And they found themselves in inability to convert. Iowa 6th. They finally opened the floodgates late, but I mean, Michigan's number one, and they're allowing similar yards per play. As far as pass yards, their rush yards, they're not going to be able to get in the rush. They're offering less in pass and rush, actually. It's kind of weird. Anyway, no, I don't think it's, I don't know. It's Michigan's got to have the similar game plan to what it had last year. You're not going to stop Ohio State. You just got to slow them. That's really all it is. All right, where are we at? C Valence, how many rushing yards will JJ need for us to win? I have no idea. Let's say 30. Maybe 50. Something like that. Keep him off balance. Conan at Champion 0038. Are you ready? I mean, like, really, really ready. I've anticipated this game since spring ball. I'm more excited about it than my kids being born. I am not that ready, man. That's a different level of ready. BC for Eisman at Blue for Life 8. With Corum Edwards not at full health, do you think we'll finally see Henning take some snaps in the backfield like they mentioned wanting to do earlier in the year? He did it earlier in the year, just like twice. He asked, or is he injured too? I honestly can't keep up with the injuries. He was injured. We'll see if he's back. If he is, I'm sure that yes, that will be at least a play. We'll see what happens. Todd at Toddy Brown Jr., would you agree that Michigan has the advantage of both lines of scrimmage and special teams just like last year? I do, and that's why I think the game will be a close one again. I do agree with that. I think it all depends on Corum and his ability. Finishing us out, Dustin Wyckoff at Dusty 1078. Who wins in a fight, Harbaugh or Day, and why? Jim Harbaugh. Scrappy. I don't know that Day doesn't look like a fighter to me. He's kind of a big guy, but he doesn't look like someone that's going to fight. So I'll go with Harbaugh. Because Harbaugh does seem like someone who would fight. I mean, he has fought. It's kind of been... used to kind of be a problem, right? All right, that's going to do it for us today. I picked Ohio State 30, Michigan 20. I know, but that's what I'm going with. We'll see what happens. Going to try to talk to you tomorrow night after I get back. Otherwise, thanks for watching and or listening. We will be back. Peace.